With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How's your week been, Matt Willis?
My week has been... ugh. How has my week been? Bloody hell, man. I miss the gym. I can't do any more stupid HIIT workouts. I just can't do it. I need a gym.
Yeah, me too. I'm really... God, I miss it. Just if they'd open them, I'd definitely be there. Yeah. Oh, mate. I woke up this morning and the first thing I said out loud was, oh, thank God it's Thursday. Like, this week has just been right. I've just been bored. And after the buzz of having Giovanna on, I think, you know, it's like a post-holiday lull I had almost from that one because I was so excited about it.
Yeah, I feel the same.
And then now we're building back up to Amy Hart, which I'm very excited about. She was great.
Oh, my God, I loved Amy Hart. Do you know what? I didn't know that much about her. You told me about her and I was like, all right, cool. And I checked her out and she was absolutely fantastic.
She was great. Like, just so honest and open, which is what we love on this, right?
I love it. I love how she's unashamedly her.
That's a very good way of putting
it. She's like, this is me. I love it. I'm like, fantastic.
Yeah. So she's got a music confession on the extended Patreon version of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I went, and as soon as we finished recording, I listened to that music for the rest of the day.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I really did.
I didn't.
It made me happy. It was actually quite good fun.
I don't want to spoil anything, but this specific thing that she's talking about is something that just takes me back to a very pleasant time in my life. So do you know what? After this intro, man, I'm going to put on one of those songs.
You should share it with your children as well. I think it's something that your children may not have heard before.
Yeah.
And I think it would blow their minds.
Do you know what? You're right. Because I keep telling them how much of an amazing time I had at certain places in my youth, like Haven Holidays and Butlins and places like that. And they're always like, can we go? It sounds brilliant. I'm like, it is brilliant. No, you can't go.
Daddy doesn't go to Haven anymore.
No.
Daddy and Mummy, if they turned up at Haven, people would wonder what had happened.
Yeah.
Imagine that, you're at Haven. You'd think you're having a fever dream, wouldn't you, if the Willises walked in?
Do you know what? Busted played a gig at like a Butlins camp back in like 2003 or something.
Yeah.
We started our arena tour there. Basically, they pay for you to do your like pre-production in their arena. They've got an arena in their facility with like 8,000 seats in it.
Have they? Wow.
And they made it like a Busted weekend. So like you checked in, there was like Busted themed in Butlins and whatever.
Really?
I know, it was amazing. And do you know what our dressing room was?
Go on.
A Static Caravan. I was like, yes!
Amazing!
I was like, boys, this is it!
Oh my God, that's incredible.
They were so like, what is this place? They were like, what is this? Like, Charlie was like, so it's like a Chavvy Centre Parks. And I was like, well, kind of.
It's got a Soho farmhouse vibe.
Yeah,
but
it's like Benidorm for people that don't fly. I loved it. And we had this amazing gig. And then we finished the gig, right? And then everyone was leaving straight away to a hotel far away, right? I stayed. I finished the gig and I made my security man stay with me. And we partied in like the main like drinking room, you know, like whatever it was, the main hall.
You just played a gig there when you were like a god.
Yeah, it was really stupid of me, really.
As if I hadn't just played a gig to 8,000 people, I wouldn't go out drinking at the place where I'd done the gig. Like, I do gigs in front of 40 people and I rock up afterwards like I've just played an arena. Like, yeah, guys, it's me, the guy from the stage, literally 4 feet away in the corner.
We as a band made a rule that we would never, ever go out in Cardiff ever, ever again.
Why?
Because we had what can only be described as possibly the best night of our lives in Cardiff.
What happened?
It's a legendary night in the Busted world. We were on tour. It was like 2004. I mean, Busted were at the time a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah.
And so we just played like an arena in Cardiff. And like we've been on tour for like 2 years, right? Every time when you finish a show, the promoter or whoever is the local guy there we'll say, okay, guys, if you want it, there's a table at this place, you know, you can go down there. And I'd obviously want to go there.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I'd go there. And it would just be like, I might as well stay in the hotel bar because it's like just really wanky and like the kind of place I probably quite enjoy now.
Yeah, yeah. But not back then.
Yeah, I was like 19, 20 years old and I just wanted to kind of go and party with young people and
obviously
have fun.
You don't want to go and sit in a wanky bar when you're 19.
No, I just wanted to go and like let my hair down and have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So our keyboard player, Chris Banks, his brother was there who was a student in Cardiff at the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, dude, where do you go? Like, where do you go? And he was like, we go to... Oh my God, if only I can remember the name. Creation. That's it. Yes. Because, yeah, well, we get a Creation on a Thursday night because it's student night and it's a pound of drink, but you're not going to want to go there. I was like, that's exactly where I want to go. Exactly where I want to go.
Amazing.
So literally we came out of the arena. We quickly got changed. We got into our car and we drove up to the doors and our security guy, a guy called Barry Knight at the time, went up to the front door and went, guys, I've got busted in the car. Can they come in? And they were like, And they radioed in and they got us this like area, basically, which was like at the top of like the stairs overlooking the dance floor, which wasn't an area. They just kind of put like some tables across it to separate it. And we went in there, right? And then the DJ literally over the mic, as soon as we were walking up the stairs, because we were walking up the stairs trying to be discreet.
Yeah.
As soon as he walked up the stairs, went, ladies and gentlemen, Busted are in the house. Played the Every Thousand, right? The place went fucking mad. And then suddenly we got to kind of the top of the stairs, just got into the area as we saw this swarm of people running up the stairs. Like literally there was like hundreds of people running towards us.
Oh my God.
It ended up being quite the area in there.
Oh my God, amazing.
It was just one of those nights that just was so much fun. Like someone that was in there literally jumped off the banister overlooking the crowd into the crowd.
Yeah.
From like way high up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to do that. And I remember just Barry grabbing me by my belt, going, no, pulling me down. I was like, that could have been so bad.
Those were great stories. Now, as a special treat in today's episode, you can hear a listener confession judged by us and our guest, Amy Hart, which happens most weeks on the extended Patreon version of this podcast. That's going to happen at around half time. So if you enjoy it, you can get more of that on our Patreon, along with a bonus confession from Amy that you can't hear anywhere else. And as an extra treat, there's something a little bit special at the end of the show. But until then, enjoy Love Islander, influencer, and all-round great guest, Amy Hart.
This is When No One's Watching,
the podcast where celebrities confess their guilty pleasures. And then we decide whether they're good, bad...
Crack on and stop feeling embarrassed about it.
Or bad, bad.
Go straight to bed, no tea, and think about what you've done.
You might be asking why they tell us these things, and it's basically because we are guilty pleasures, aren't we? I'm Matt Richardson, Heat Magazine's Weird Crush of the Year.
And I'm Matt Willis, from Busted.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Very excited about our guest this week, Matt. I'm going to give you a bit of context about this guest. We've become friends, but I basically forced my friendship on our next guest.
I know the feeling.
I'm quite an intense person. You know, you may know her from Love Island. We did a show called Hey Tracy together on ITV2, which was an experience. And I was like, you know what? I like the cut of your jib. So I forced my friendship on her. And now Amy Hart is on the podcast. Hello.
Hello. I still maintain that I forced my friendship on you.
But also we both like planes. So I think we were sort of quite mutually excited.
Are you another plane nerd?
I'm not a plane nerd. I just worked on them for 8.5 years.
Oh, right.
So I've got the skills to pay the bills when it comes to being Matt's friend.
Absolutely.
In that if he's got a question, I've normally got the answer.
Right, okay.
But not through wanting to know the answer, just through like having to know the answer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can actually tell him the truth,
yeah,
about stuff and you go, well, when what you think you're getting, what you're actually getting is...
Yeah.
Absolutely. Poor Amy has had many times me going, so on the 777-200s that BA fly out of Gatwick, and she's like, oh yeah, go on, I'll answer this one as well. Very patient friend, I'd say.
What did you do on the airplane, Amy?
Well, I was an air hostess for like 6 years, and then for 2.5 years I was a cab manager, so I was in charge of the whole aircraft.
Wow.
So like 300 passengers, the flight crew, like 10 crew. So it's so funny that Matt loves planes so much, whereas I used to get on and be like, this disgusting aircraft. None of them work. And like you'd get like the registration number in the briefing room and you'd be like, brilliant. Great, great. I know the IFE system on this one. Great. Can't wait to apologise to 300 people to all this. So I have like less fondness for the 777-200.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Now, how do you feel about confessing these things? Are they things you've talked about before?
Yes, I feel like I'm in a safe space, though.
Yes, you are.
When I normally bring these things up, people think I'm really weird and people are like, okay, cool. So yeah, I feel like I'm in a safe space where I can talk about these things.
Yeah, you are.
You are in a safe space. Obviously, we will judge them if they're, you know, good, bad or bad. But look, we've had a lot of grim stuff on here. I think you're going to be safe.
I can honestly say whatever you're going to say won't be the worst we've had.
So Matt texted me and said, we do this podcast, should I come on? I said, yeah, lovely. So then I went and listened to them all.
Amazing.
So I know them all.
And you're still here.
And I'm still here.
Amazing. Well, you know what? Let's kick off. Can we have your first confession, please?
So my first confession is I am like probably unhealthily obsessed with Jill and Joe Biden. When the election was on, I stayed up all night watching it and I was thinking, oh, bless Joe Biden. He's so old. He's waited his whole life to do this. And I love an underdog. And then obviously he ended up winning. So then I spent my November lockdown listening to every podcast him or Jill have ever done. I bought Jill's book on Audible and listened to that the whole way through. I've literally completed Biden YouTube in that I've watched pretty much every interview they've ever done. And I am literally, when people are like, oh, he's so weird, he touches people. I'm like, do you know why he touches people? It's because when his wife died, his kids thought that he was going to die too. So we used to touch them all the time to like reassure them they were there. And I get really angry about it.
Fair enough.
I'm like, how dare you?
Wow, you really do.
Yeah.
So Jill's his wife, right?
Yes.
Jill's his wife.
Okay.
She's an educator, teacher for English people.
That's what he calls her, educator.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. Like, I quite like American politics. I've read about 10 books on Donald Trump because he's an awful man, but an interesting character. However, Jill and Joe Biden seem a bit bland. Is that right or is it not?
No, I think like they're just right, a good people. That you'd want them to be your nan and granddad.
Okay.
Like, I want them to be my nan and granddad. Like, I love my nan and granddad. If I could have an American nan and granddad, like it'd be them.
Okay.
Because like, they just seem really cool. And like all their family traditions are really cool, like, but they're very set in their family traditions, but you can't really break into them.
What are their family traditions? Tell me some.
Stuff like they go to Nantucket every Thanksgiving. The kids have to read catalogues in the car to write their Christmas list. Now, I can't even look at my phone in a car, so I feel like probably wouldn't fit into the family.
No,
right.
They take their grandchildren everywhere with them. Like, they all have their sort of set places. So, like, when they do any, like, Chinese trips and stuff, they take their eldest granddaughter and they sort of include everyone in everything.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but I just love them. And I think, like, he's really famous for, like, loving, like, ice cream, and they just seem like a really normal family, and I love that. But you say about like Trump and stuff, I was watching CNN and they said to the person about how Donald Trump is a narcissist, and this woman said, yes, he is, but so is Obama and so is Joe Biden and so is Bill Clinton and so is George Bush. To think that you are good enough to hold the most powerful position in the world, you have to be a narcissist.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
It's a fucking dumb job if you think about it. Yeah. Like, one guy, one person has that job. Yeah. That's a crazy job. Who wants that job?
But also, running for election, you put yourself forward, you're going, I'm going to run to be president. And you think, why? Why are you? Actually, it's a good point, because you think, why are you? Why should companies and people give you millions of dollars to be president?
Yeah.
It is crazy.
I listened to Jill's book, and it was written before he decided to run this time.
Okay.
And it was when he decided not to run last time. And she was talking about how, like, they'd accepted the fact they were never going to be president and first lady, and how upset Joe was that he was never going to be president. But, like, he decided that, you know what was best for their family is that he didn't go for it. So then obviously I was listening to it once he'd been declared president-elect, and I was like, oh my God, guys, you don't even know that you are president. Getting really emotional.
You know, I think he's quite, like, obviously, like you say, he is old.
Yeah.
He's the oldest person.
How old is he?
78.
78?
Yeah.
He's 78 years old, and he has a job, let alone the fucking biggest job in the world.
Yeah.
Like, who's fucking employing 78-year-old men in any other job?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get a job in Tesco if you're 78. You can fucking be the president of a fucking... You got fucking nuclear codes?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My granddad can't even use a remote control and you give him a fucking nuclear button.
I mean, I still think it was weird that they let Donald Trump have the nuclear codes going on that plane to leave. Can you imagine if he'd just been like, do you know what? take this.
Yeah, it's a funny, it's a weird one because Donald Trump was the oldest before that. He's what, 74 or something?
Yeah.
Oh, was he? Right.
Yeah, he's a bit old. Like, and like, he seems very nice, Joe Biden, but you know, he is quite gaffe prone because of his age.
Yeah.
Like, even recently, he fell up the stairs of Air Force One, and
yeah,
everyone on the right in America's going, oh, he's not fit to be president, rah, rah, rah. But yeah, he seems like quite a nice, charming guy.
Yeah, he's like a granddad. That's the thing. Like, my granddad flirts with the waitresses in restaurants and stuff. And I think, like, they are like the American Pam and Mick from Gavin and Stacey is how, yeah, how I see them. It's just the way he used to have a stutter. That's the other thing. I go to people when they slag him off for like stuttering and stuff. I'm like, it's because he actually had a stutter and now you are a bully and that's really like, I've suddenly become like the president of the Biden fan club in the UK branch.
What I love is that he has the entire Secret Service to protect him, but like, you're doing your bit as well.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
I love that you're on this little PR campaign for the Bidens and go, actually, you don't understand.
Actually, you're actually really out of order. They're just a really nice family and I want them to be my nan and granddad.
So he was the right man for the job, in your opinion, right?
Oh, 100%. Because I also think as well, people like Donald Trump, like, he obviously is like a billionaire, or was, who knows if he is, I don't know, but allegedly a billionaire. Like, how, what does he know about the average working American? Joe Biden and his wife lived on a normal wage for many, many years. Like, when their son was dying of cancer, they couldn't afford the medical bills and President Obama was going to pay the medical bills. But then Hunter, slightly dodgy son, managed to get the money. Don't know where from.
Hunter's the rogue, isn't he, in the family? Yeah. I don't imagine you're such a fan of Hunter because he's the one that caused all the problems, you know, with this.
Is he the one that Donald Trump called out?
Yeah, yeah. He kind of lives in LA. He's like got, he's got a kid that he doesn't see much of. He's been in and out of rehab. Like, he's, if you're running for public life, like, there's a lot of fodder with Hunter Biden.
Yeah, right. Because the one that I found out that wasn't on any YouTube videos or any podcasts, shockingly, was he dated his dead brother's wife.
What?
After the brother had died.
What the fuck?
You know what happens with like the best friend and like the widowed or widower spouse?
Always happens, doesn't it?
Always happens.
It's like the arm goes round,
yeah,
head goes up, and then they go in for the kiss. Happened with his sister-in-law.
Oh my fucking God.
Do you have anyone like this that you're obsessed with, Matt? Like a specific that you want to read everything about and know everything about a person?
I mean, I've been through periods of lots of different people, you know, but not to this extent. This seems quite full on.
Yeah.
For instance, it feels like you could go on Mastermind for Joe Biden.
About the Bidens, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, about 15 years ago, so I was probably, what, like 13?
Yeah.
One of my friend's dads called me a fountain of Diana-based knowledge. Because before the Bidens, before Jane McDonald, before it was Princess Diana.
So it went Princess Diana to Jane McDonald
McDonald
to the Bidens.
Oh, probably with a segue to the Nolans as well.
Oh my,
and look, I mean, it's fucking brilliant.
That's what I love, that like, do you think like somewhere like Jane McDonald to a lot of people is just like the Bidens and Diana, but like, what an eclectic mix.
Yeah, I'd probably rename this confession Jill and Joe Biden potentially, but also I think the broader umbrella that comes under is me being an unofficial biographer for many random famous people and just being like the most curious person. As soon as I find something I want to know about, I have to know all of it.
Really, right.
And people say like, oh, I've dipped in and out of that TV series, or I've missed a few episodes of that podcast or whatever. Like, that's not me.
You're all or nothing.
You are all in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, look, I'm very similar to this. So as soon as I like something, I have to consume so much about it that I almost ruin it.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So like, if I kind of click into a band that I really like, I'm like, right, I need to know when you were founded, where you're all born, when you birthed. Like,
yeah.
When I was younger with that, with bands. But even now, if I'm enjoying a movie, I can't not go and read everything I can find about it, or listen to every podcast,
yeah,
about the making of that movie. Like, if I really like it, I need to know everything about it. I'm very similar to this. I totally, totally get this.
Yeah.
Right.
How do you feel about this, Matt?
Well, I'm not really like that. I'm quite happy to go, ah, that's cool, you know, and kind of move on.
It's because you're not committed to anything.
I'm not, exactly, Amy. I'm not. I'm too blasé. You know, but like, there was a period in my life, like, for instance, like, Tom DeLonge from Blink-182, I knew fucking everything about that man.
Yeah.
You know, so there's been periods of my life, same as Billy Joe from Green Day, I found out everything I possibly could.
He was 49 in February.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was 49 in February. There you go.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I should have known that. But, you know, so I have had periods of my life like that. But I think now I'm just like, Meh.
Oh, you're just too apathetic.
See, I think as well, like, I love an anecdote, and because I have this crazy, I've inherited it from my dad, my memory. So my dad will say things like, oh yeah, that was the 28th of April 1978, because it was a Tuesday, because Brighton had lost 2-1 to Millwall on the Monday.
Oh, right, wow.
And I've like inherited that, less about sort of dates and stuff, but more about just information. So I've always got an anecdote, so there's never an awkward silence, because I'm like, did you know that Princess Diana looked out over the mall, all the people queuing for her wedding, and was like, I'm not sure I actually want to do this. And her sister was like, it's too late, your face is on all the tea towels. True story.
Is that what her sister said?
Your face is on the tea towels now.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's so funny. Look, I'm going to say with this, I'm totally into this. I love knowing everything about stuff, and I like being a fountain of useless information.
Yeah.
So I think this is good, bad. What about you, Matt?
I love it. I wish I was a bit more like it. I just can't be asked. Like, for instance, when we're watching something, my wife will be on Wikipedia reading about the person we're watching about. Like, whilst we're doing it, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I find that very distracting. But I do enjoy then the knowledge that comes with that. Yes, I think this is good, bad. I like it.
Oh, good.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. Good start.
Yeah.
We've started well.
Okay, Amy, can we have your next confession, please?
So my next confession is, I am the world's best online detective and I get so much joy from it, but to the point where sometimes I don't sleep. For example, the other day, someone made a fake account from the theatre industry to send me a message to tell me that I was out of order because I haven't worked for anything I've got, yada, yada, yada. But because I argued with them for 2 hours because I'd been drunk when they messaged me, they left loads of tiny little bits of information slip.
Yeah.
So then the next night when I was sober, I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, getting the list of who it possibly could be, narrowing it down, and I worked out who it is. And I can't do anything with that information. And I didn't sleep for a whole night, but now I know. And my absolute favourite story is, I used to work with a girl who had a dating blog.
Yeah.
And she put a blog up, and she put it up live at 8:30 in the morning. And I just landed for a long haul and I was in my car and I went on my phone and she'd posted it. So I read it, and in it, she talked about the fact that she'd slept with a first officer, and she put, but I'm not going to say who the first officer was. At 8:37, I text her the name of the first officer because she sort of hinted as to what trip it was. So I went back through her Facebook to find the pictures of this trip and work out who it was. And she was like, how have you done that? She's still to this day, if she needs anything, she texts me and she's like, I need you to find this out.
Oh my God, amazing.
Just, I'm petty and nosy mixed into one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, like, okay. All these confessions, I feel like it's an umbrella of just an awful character trait that I have.
That you're just super nosy, basically.
Yeah. And I don't like anyone being like, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm like, yeah, you don't tell me, but I'm going to find out.
You don't have to tell me.
Look, don't tell me. I like the challenge.
It's like, once we were at Vegas airport and my friend had met this guy in Vegas and she was going to marry him, and she'd met this guy and he was the love of her life. We were delayed 5 hours at Vegas airport, and during that 5 hours, he said he didn't have social media, and I was like, no, that's a lie. He's definitely found it. He had social media.
Married.
And also a fiancé.
Yeah. Anyone that says they don't have social media is a scumbag.
Yeah, I think that is probably true, isn't it?
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
I'm now just going to come to you whenever I've got a question about anything.
Oh, yeah.
You should become like a private investigator.
Yeah. Literally.
I think that's maybe your calling.
I couldn't do the stuff like where they go through the rubbish bin and stuff, though.
No.
Well, you'd have someone else for that.
Yeah. You'd employ someone for that.
Mike Rinder, who he had a private investigator set on him after he spoke out against Scientology. So what he used to do was he used to write fake notes about people within the organisation that he hated, saying that they'd called him about leaving. And then he'd wrap it up in his dog poo and then put it in the rubbish so that the person that came to look through the rubbish had to like scrape dog shit off of this note. And then the person who was written down would have like an auditing session.
Oh my God, amazing.
So why have you called Mike Rinder? Why have you called Mike Rinder when they hadn't?
Oh, brilliant.
I love this. Do you ever do things online where I will quite often like, I'll see that someone's been like slightly problematic, said something weird, and everyone's like starting to drag up all of this stuff they've done in the past. Like, for example, at the moment, there's a guy who had shrimps in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And everyone's like, well, there's this from 20 years ago that he did that was really bad. And like, I am always in awe about how people can piece all of that together from someone's life. And I will go on, say, Twitter, and I'll go, okay, so they're talking to that person, and try and find where they found it from. I think it's amazing that people... It's a bit like, do you know the documentary Don't Fuck With Cats? You'd have been amazing on that.
Yeah.
Because you could have found out anything about that bloke.
Oh my God, I loved it. But so like the other night when I was trying to find out who the fake account was, the person who I thought it was, I was going on Twitter and then like typing in their Twitter handle into the search bar and then certain phrases that they'd used in the messages and searching to see if they'd used them in tweets.
What,
before.
Like slightly unusual phrases?
Yeah.
Oh my God, brilliant.
That's... genius. That's fucking amazing. Oh my God.
It's really good.
You've blown my mind.
The level that you go to is extreme.
Yeah.
You're so good at this.
And then so I managed to get it down to about five people, and the person who it was had kept talking about my Twitter activity. So I went through and only one of them followed me on Twitter, but on nothing else. Whereas the others like were my friends on Facebook or my like followed me on Instagram. But this person only followed me and I was like, it's him. So I spoke to some other people and said, I've put together this investigation and do you think I'm right? And they were all like, yeah, I do think you're right. I was like, I didn't even have to get a cork board.
Yeah, with all the string on it going
everywhere.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to do.
Yeah, that's what you need.
I would love it if you could walk into a room with him one day and just throw a dossier and go, there you go. This is why it's you.
I voiced like one of my friends, and then because I found it so hilarious, obviously forwarded it to everyone thinking that I did it on the spot. Because that's the kind of comedian that I am.
Yeah.
And if I get a gag that works, I use it over and over and over again.
Yeah, mate. Welcome to being a comedian. Yeah.
I was like, one day I'm going to walk in. Let's say his name is Joe. It's not. Let's pretend it's Joe Biden. And I said, one day I'm going to walk into a room and he's going to be there. I'll say, Joe, we finally meet in person, not on Instagram. From a fake. Yeah, actually, no, I need to make it more snappy, actually, don't I?
But I like it.
I love this. I'm sort of slightly in awe of this a little bit. This is an amazing quality. I think, like you say, it doesn't often, like, what can you do with the information? A bit irrelevant. You've got peace of mind, and that is priceless.
And for me, with the like the fake Instagram account one, I suspected a couple of different people and a couple of them upset me because I know them. So now I know who it is. Like, it's peace of mind. So
yeah, exactly.
It's not these people that I do actually like.
Mm. Maybe there's a way you can kind of like combine being a public personality and an influencer and all those various things and being a private investigator and like really monetize this in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I would be very excited to see that. I think this is good, bad.
I think it's fantastic. Like, I want you to solve a few things for me. As soon as I get them, I'm going to forward them to you.
Okay.
And just to see how you come around to it. I think it's good, bad.
You know what? Actually, I had to change my phone number last year because I was getting all these random calls from people and like texts from people that I didn't know. Rather than change my phone number, I should have just gone, I'm having these. Can you work out why?
Yeah.
Next time, there we go. Okay, can we have your next confession, please?
Okay, so my next confession is I'm obsessed with cults and religions, like learning about them. Again, like the first thing, once I want to know about something, I have to know about everything. So if you've got a question about Scientology or anything like that, I can tell you the answer because I'm obsessed with cults.
Which is your favourite cult?
Scientology. Just because it's so, like, I know Scientology is allegedly a religion for tax purposes, worth a lot of money.
But it isn't.
It's not a religion at all. It's a business. So a lot of the other religions, I understand they are doing it because it's to do with God, like, especially America's big God-fearing country and stuff. However, Scientology is about, there's a spaceship going to eternity, and like the higher up the levels you are, i.e. the more money you spend, then the better seat you get on the spaceship.
Is that actually what it is?
Yeah.
But do these people actually believe that?
You know, like a multi-level marketing company, where like a lot of the newer ones, they don't actually have products. It's just like it's launching soon. Get your team together, recruit all these people, and you're like, what we actually selling? Don't know, but we're just doing this. Like they do believe it, and they're really scared, and it's brainwashing. Like that's what it is. It's brainwashing, and they get like young people in because young people are treated. There is no age because you have like an eternal life. That your time on Earth is so small.
Right.
They're like, you know, yeah, right, that's your mum now, but in your next life, they could be your cleaner. So they don't encourage like maternal or paternal or sibling bonds.
What?
Because they're like, that's your family for while you're here, but like you're talking about eternity.
What?
So like 12-year-olds run like the creche.
Whoa.
You come out of school when you're like 10 and you work for like your money, which isn't a lot. And they do stuff like, so they, when you're in the Sea Org, which is where you sign a billion-year contract.
You know what though? I've had a few really dodgy agents in the past where I've signed about the same.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically, so you can be like a normal Scientologist. So like Leah Remini, for example, this is how I know it all, because my dad read her book Troublemaker, which is about her leave from Scientology and her life.
Did she grow up in it?
She grew up in it. Her mum joined when they were about 9, because she met a bloke, obviously. Blokes. And rule the day.
Sorry.
So they grew up in it. So she left. She wrote this book and my dad said to me, you've got to read this book. It's the best one you'll ever read. And it is. Like, I 100% agree with that. Closely followed by Emily Maitlis' book. Not she's not a cult. She's a great book. So that's the best book I've ever read. So she was like a normal Scientologist, just like a parishioner. So she would go and do 12-hour days working on King of Queens. She had like a husband and a child, but she still had to do a minimum of 2.5 hours a day at the Scientology Center, studying like the books of Scientology, Dianetics, being audited, because you want to go clear. So going clear is where your brain thinks of nothing but Scientology, and that's what you're working towards.
Really? I mean, look, Amy, I'm not going to lie. I think you've gone clear.
I feel like I'm holding back a bit of a secret here, and I've got to get off my chest.
Go on.
So many years ago, when I came out of a rehabilitation center, I was, shall we say, a little bit lost in the world.
Yeah.
And I was walking down Tottenham Court Road and I come out of Goodge Street, I think.
Yeah.
And I got approached by a guy that asked me a few simple questions. And I was like, yeah. He goes, do you want to just come with me? I've got a little thing. And I was in some front of some shop and I was like, yeah, I'll come in. You know, and I walked in there and I held these metal things.
Yeah.
And he tested me. And I suddenly realized I was in somewhere called the Church of Scientology. And I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, I didn't know anything about it. And I answered some questions and a little dial moved when I answered the questions. And I was like, wow, what's this? You know, and he said, if you're interested, you know, we think we can help you with some answers and blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, cool. You know, so before I knew it, the next week I arrived at the doors to a big building in London, which was the Scientology building. And I continued to go there for about 3.5 weeks every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every single day I went there, I bought different books and different courses and like I was in.
Yeah. They get you the 25 quid, 70 quid, and then it goes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, £70. And then the next one was £200. Yeah. And it was like,
so she,
then the next one that I didn't get to was much more expensive. But then after a few weeks, I was like, this is fucking bollocks.
Yeah. there's no actual thing.
Like,
it's
what
just...
So what's this based on?
Yeah. I
was like,
well, there's always yeah. something else, like, isn't there? There's always like, oh, you need the next
thing.
I thought
it was like fucking Tony Robbins shit. Like yeah. I was going to like fucking come out of it like, cool, you just need to believe in yourself more or something. Yeah. I was like, oh no, I just need to buy some more shit.
Yeah.
And then I get some more shit.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
I had to buy something else because I'm not ready until I get this one. But I've got, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And then I had a big row with the guy because
what?
He, like literally, dude.
This is the greatest fucking story you've ever told.
So yeah. So about 3.5 weeks I was there. And then everywhere in the building were these big posters and signs about psychology, right? And how it's like the fucking devil's work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, I've just been in multiple rehab centers talking to psychologists who pretty much saved my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I had all these arguments. And in fact, they don't want to prescribe me anything. They want to get me off of drugs.
Yeah.
They've done the opposite to what you're telling me they do. You know, well, it's actually... What you'll find, Matt, is that the longer you're with them, the sooner they'll start to prescribe you medication. That's how they get you locked into them for life.
Yeah.
I was like, that's exactly right. What you're fucking doing.
Yeah.
It was such a weird process. And it took me a little while to dawn on it and to go, wait a sec, what the fuck is this? You yeah. know? And then I thought about it more and I was like, oh, right. Because in every kind of weird cult or religion or something weird, mm-hmm. they're super, super against the one thing that can prove it's bollocks.
Yes. You
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And to prove Scientology is bollocks is psychology. Because, yeah. you know, like proves that yeah. all their fucking techniques are complete yeah. fucking unscientific bullshit.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, I found it fascinating.
How interesting that you spent like 3 weeks as a Scientologist.
Yeah, yeah. Fully invested, Matt.
Did you know there are 40 million Scientologists around the world and Matt, you are one of them because they count every single person who's bought a book, who's done a course.
I did 2 courses.
Yeah, well, you're definitely one then.
Yeah.
They say, like, you know, we have 40 million members around the world. There's not. There's like 20,000 practicing Scientologists, but 40 million people.
And loads of idiots like me who got fucking hoodwinked by some
who
guy.
Who just kind of wandered in.
With a fucking fairground trick.
Yeah, yeah.
Leah Rezoltar.
Yeah.
Leah Remini reckons that she spent $6 million.
Oh my God.
In like 15 years from when she was an adult. Because like when you do something, so what I said before, so you have parishioners, then you have Sea Org, which is people that work for Scientology.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to have kids if you're in the Sea Org because it like takes you away from it. So if you're married to someone else in the Sea Org, they'll put you on split shifts every day so that you can't possibly get pregnant. And then if you do get pregnant, you have to have an abortion or you have to leave the Sea Org.
Oh my God.
Which means you have to leave Scientology.
God.
Which means you become a suppressive person, which means that nobody that is in your family can speak to you. They have to disconnect from you.
Well, funny you should say that, right? Because one of the courses that I was doing was they were trying to get to something and I was like, what are you fucking getting at here? And like they were trying to kind of like, because occasionally I'd work with one-to-one with another person.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get like, there's someone in your life who's actually draining you, who's like a negative force, and it's normally the person closest to you that's you find that. I was like, I think they're trying to split my fucking marriage up now.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to kind of force this weird opinion on me. It's a very, very yeah. weird place. So yeah. please, if anyone's listening and thinking about checking it out, yeah. I would advise against.
Don't.
Mate, that's, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, being obsessed with cults, I think we've learnt here that all of us are obsessed with Scientology. One of us, absolutely phenomenal piece of information about you, Matt Willis,
yeah.
that you kind of like dipped your toe in.
Do you know what? I'm going to be brutally honest as well. I only chucked Dianetics away about 2 years ago. It was on my bookshelf.
Really?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, yeah. And I was I'm going to fucking
have
read
you,
that
have
one
you read
day.
It?
I'm going to fucking read that one day.
Did you read
no,
it?
No, it's bollocks. I tried to. I've read about 4 pages. Like, this is fucking rubbish.
Have you read it, Amy?
No, I just like the TV programs and the podcasts and the books. But like, I always say, because I don't have any religion at all. Like, my grandparents tried to get me in the Salvation yeah. Army when I was younger, signed a piece of paper when I was 8 so that I'd never drink alcohol. I mean, that didn't really work. And so because I'm like a blank canvas, I can enjoy learning about religions.
Yeah.
And not be affected. Here, yeah. Whereas, like, I suppose if you are like really into one religion, you can't really learn about the other ones because they sort of contradict what you believe. Whereas, because I'm a blank canvas,
yeah,
I can learn about all of them. But I need to start like sort of rational, like, I don't know, explaining myself better. Because, for example, the other a couple of weeks ago, Curtis from Love Island texted me, and I texted him back and I said, oh yeah, I was up really late last night because I was seeing a podcast about Scientology. And he texts back, I didn't know you were a Scientologist. I was like, I'm not.
And then
when the other podcast, I did put a TikTok up about the fact that I'd been on to talk to them about Scientology, there was like 50 comments on there. I didn't know Amy Hart was a Scientologist. I'm like, I'm not.
My God, you're one of the members now.
Stop,
as well.
Stop, exactly.
You're one of the 40 million.
Look, I love that this has divulged into a conversation about cults. Like, it's so, what I like about this podcast often is we get to talk about things that we would never have talked about before.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by things like Scientology, by cults, by anything like that. In our house, we don't have any religion, but Sam is doing a degree in religion at the moment and part-time just because, like, it's so interesting.
Oh my God, I'm jealous.
Doing it
all.
Yeah,
fuck, that is so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So she's
it?
Like, at the moment, like, it's all about, you know, the Hare Krishna, that kind of side of Hinduism and all that. And she tells me about it, and it is fascinating. All this is fascinating. I think this is good, bad.
Yeah, I think this is really good, bad. Like, I've gone down the rabbit hole on quite a few religions to kind of go, what's this about? What's this about?
Yeah.
Mate, you didn't go down the rabbit hole. You accidentally joined Scientology for a bit.
Yeah. By accident, I realised I was very close to dressing like them.
Really?
You know, like, because I was suddenly very aware. I was very underdressed when I was going there. I was like, I might think I need to put a shirt and tie on. But I stopped at that point. But yeah, I think this is good, bad. Very good, bad.
With our guests every week, this series, what we do is we get listener confessions and we discuss them with you. And you get to say if they're good, bad or bad, bad. So we've got some of these and we've got a couple and we're just going to talk about them. So Matt, do you want to go first?
Okay, I have one for you here, Anne.
Okay.
So this has come in. I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
But I do eat chicken skin. I don't tell anyone, but I'd never tell anyone. But I love it.
Okay. I used to class myself as a sober vegetarian. Vegetarian when I was sober. And then I'd go out and get pissed and eat chicken nuggets.
I know a lot of those.
That's such a go-to for a vegetarian destroyer, isn't it? A fucking McDonald's chicken nugget or a bacon sandwich are the two.
But how much chicken's really in it?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
A fair point, isn't
exactly.
it?
If
you're eating a McDonald's chicken nugget, how much chicken is actually in it?
That's how you warrant it. Love it.
The chicken skin. Okay, so I'm going to give two answers for this. If you're eating the chicken skin that someone else in your family has discarded from their chicken that's going to go in the bin anyway, that's all right.
Yeah, fine.
Right? Mm. If you're buying and roasting a whole chicken to eat the chicken skin and then throwing the chicken away, that is wasteful. You're a bad person.
Yeah, I agree. Also, because you know how, you know, like you were just saying about chicken nuggets. I'm not a vegetarian. However, I think chicken skin is the one thing that if I was a vegetarian, I would miss the most.
Yeah.
I like a crispy chicken skin.
Really?
I don't eat pork particularly. Like, I don't really like pork. So like bacon has never been like a big, oh my God, the bacon sandwich, chicken skin. Oh, I totally understand why you'd have that.
Yeah.
And also, like you say, it's a kind of a byproduct that isn't going into a lot of the things. So it's going to be wasted or thrown away if people don't like it. You might as well just eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, I will admit, I'm not a vegetarian anymore, but when I was veggie for a little bit, I'd go into KFC and get like the KFC vegan burger and put that on my Instagram story, but leave out the chicken barbecue bites that I'd also bought and the barbecue beans and the gravy that are all definitely not vegetarian.
Look, so basically you get this. It's like public facing being vegetarian.
Yeah.
It is, definitely.
A PR vegetarian. Oh, it's like even when like you did veganuary, Sam did veganuary and she was like, oh yeah, I'm doing veganuary. I was like, every bit of fucking meat I ate, she had a bit of though.
Really? Right. Yeah, there we go.
You know, but on Instagram, she's like, oh my God, look at these ready meals. They're so great. And I was like, you're having a fucking burger. You've had half my burger. Who needs meat when you've got these aubergine ready meals? You!
It's always when someone's drunk as well that they buckle from the vegetarianism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like my brother was a vegetarian when I was a kid. Like him, suddenly declared it one Sunday. And he wasn't going to eat the roast dinner. And we had to buy him this fucking horrible nut roast every week. It was horrendous. But then one day he came down after being out, completely fucking smashed, and walked downstairs and there was bacon being cooked and he bailed. But after like 7 years.
Really?
7 years.
Wow.
I did it for a month. My mate dared me because I'm a big meat eater. Yeah. And he was like, you can fucking do it for a week. I was like, I'll do it for a month. Piece of piss.
Did you manage?
Yeah, did it. Then as soon as I finished, I was like, all right, give me the bacon.
Look, everyone's got their weak spot with this kind of stuff, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the majority of the time this person isn't eating meat, they just have a bit of chicken skin every now and then.
Yeah.
I think this is good, bad. I don't think it's that terrible.
Yeah, yeah, just eat the chicken, babe. Go for it. You know, my wife, right, when she has chicken, she takes the skin off and it insults me. Like, I hate it, especially when I've cooked it, right? And I'm like, that's the best bit.
Yeah.
Who knew this podcast would be the downfall of any respect I had for Emma Willis? Like, come on, Emma. Eat the fucking chicken skin.
I know, she peels it off.
You know, that's, I just, sorry, I can't, that's it. I've unsubscribed from that. What do you think, Amy? Good, bad or bad, bad?
Oh, like I said, I don't know, but let's just say good, bad. I think it's good, bad. Live a little, haven't you? You've got to live a little sometimes.
You absolutely have, man. Go for gold.
Look, we've come to the end of it now. Thank you very much. But you've sort of walked this. It's been good, bad all the way, which is an unusual feat to achieve.
You've completed the game.
But then is it just kind of quite boring?
No, not whatsoever. No, no,
no, no, not at all. There's a couple of them as well. When you started, I thought, and then you taught me round. So you've really been absolved of these. I think they're all great.
Yeah.
If people listening want to find you anywhere, where can they find you?
So I'm Amy Hart XO on Instagram, AmyHart1707 on Twitter. But yeah, I'm on YouTube as well. But yeah, just come find me. Come join in the weirdness. Like, literally, I'm not really anything. I'm not a beauty one. I'm not a fashion one. I'm just a weird one.
Love it.
Worth a follow. Absolutely.
Amy, thank you. That was wicked.
Mate, thank you so much. That was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So there we go. That was Amy Hart.
Yes, Amy Hart.
You admitted to something quite major in that podcast.
I did, yeah.
In your Scientology flirtation, shall we call it?
I dipped my wick, shall we say.
fair enough, mate.
I didn't stay too long.
No, fair enough.
It was a moment in my life, shall we say, that I forget about. Do you know what? Like, there's certain things you're like, oh, yeah, I did that. You know, like, But, like, loads of them happen to me all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah.
There's a lot of your life you don't remember, so that's quite a good thing that you remember that thing.
Literally years, Matt. Years and years.
If people want to hear more about that, we actually talk a bit about your Scientology dalliance on our Patreon this week. We do a special podcast, if you're in the top tier, Total Wrongans, once a month. It's called Total Wrongans, and we talk about your Scientology time in that this week, and it's absolutely fascinating. I'm really chuffed you shared it, because for me, I'm really into all that stuff, so it's well worth getting on our Patreon to listen to that.
That was such a weird time. It's such a weird thing to have done.
So if you want to listen to any extra chat about that on the Total Wrongans podcast, head to patreon.com/WNOW. As a little treat, here is a clip from this month's Total Wrongans podcast. Welcome to Total Wrongans.
Oh, hi, everyone. Hi.
The extra podcast you get exclusively on Patreon. The whole point of this spin-off podcast is we might look at people from history or like dead celebrities and things and the weird things they're into. Now, I'm going to start first because actually I'm going to ask you about this because it might be something you do as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of Igor Stravinsky, who was a composer. You know, he's a very boundary-pushing Russian composer around, you know, in the 1800s. And basically, every single morning, this is his weird thing he did when no one was watching. He used to do a handstand for up to 20 minutes in order to clean his head and be ready to write down any inspiration that came during it. And the logic of this was it increases the blood flow to your brain, therefore it will cultivate creativity and good ideas in music.
Wow. So, but for 5 minutes?
No, for 20 minutes every morning.
20 minutes every single morning?
It's the first thing he'd do when he got up. He'd get up, get out of bed and do a handstand for 20 minutes.
20 minutes is a fucking long time.
Yeah. But also, like, when I read this one, I didn't think it was, like, you know, particularly astounding or weird. However, I find it really interesting when people who are artists have an unusual process to come up with stuff. And I was wondering, have you ever had anything that is weird and a bit unusual to try and get those juices flowing?
Have I ever had anything weird and unusual like this? No. I mean, booze used to be really good.
Yeah? Did it work, though?
Like, in the early days of Busted, like, that was kind of, like, the thing. Like, when we wrote the first album, me and James were, like, go and get, like, 8 cans of Foster's each. And James never drank. So, like, James would have, like, 1 can, 2 cans. And I'd just get a little bit smashed and start writing fucking stupid shit. And that stupid shit would become, you know, what I go to school for, year 3000 or whatever.
Things that define your life 20 years later.
Exactly. Like, year 3000 was a fucking B-side that we wrote when we were drunk after coming back from Tots 2000, which was the local nightclub in Southend. And we came back from there after drinking Pound a Fucking Pint Night, where you'd buy like a pint and get a free aftershock thing.
Oh,
and we
my
got
God.
Smashed. And we came back there, and like, I think I was really badly sick on the way home. We came back and we'd watched Back to the Future and we were watching it and we were like, and James's neighbour was called Peter, you know, and it's just kind of like, one day when I came, you know, it was like drunken stupidity. And the next day we were singing it again. We're like, oh, that's quite good, you know, so we finished it off and then, you know, never in a million years did I think it would ever get used, let alone become
the defining song of Busted.
My only thing that will be left behind from my life.
I don't think it's a bad legacy, mate.
It was when we were fucking pissed after drinking fucking too much aftershock. But then, have we got any of those? No, not really. You know, I've wrote with some people who have very weird ways of writing lyrics. Like, I find lyric writing really interesting because people always have their own little styles and ways of doing it.
Right.
You know, normally we kind of start going, la, 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 must a feeling, a feeling, a feeling. You know, like you start singing something and something sounds good and then you write it around that. Or you've got a concept already, an idea that you kind of base it around.
Yeah.
People have really fucking funny ways of doing that.
Do they?
Yeah. But not standing on your head for 20 minutes. That's a new one for me.
Okay, there you go. That was a clip from Total Wrong'uns, which is our special spin-off podcast available only on Patreon. If you like the sound of that, go and check it out. In the meantime, keep listening to this and like, subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.